Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Happy Halloween. I told the guys in the control room I'm dressed up today as a happy racetrack winner today. So it's a little bit different for me. It's a little bit different for all of us. But actually, I drive in on Halloween. I always think about halfway on the drive, oh, I should at least brought in a mask or something. But maybe I'll come up with something as the day goes along. But all of that said, first let me remind you that you can stop by the Racebook today and enjoy all the football action and all the racing action as you can every Sunday throughout the NFL season. Football Sundays here at the Clubhouse Racebook. You wear a jersey, you get in for free. You can put your name on one of the squares and match up those halftime or final scores. And maybe you'll win a jersey or a restaurant voucher. Always a lot of fun. Speaking of restaurant voucher, you can have a little lunch down here as well. Again, fun sitting around with a group of folks enjoying the horse racing and the football action here at the Clubhouse Racebook every Sunday throughout the NFL season. 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Let me also remind you that coming up on Thursday, the annual Capital OTB Breeders' Cup Seminar. It will be live on the Capital OTB YouTube channel at 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon. We'll replay it, obviously, on the social media channels. You'll be able to pick it up in replay and here on the network as well, though. I'll be in the studio live with Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union, live from Del Mar, our colleague Brian Natto. So should be a lot of fun going through the entire Breeders' Cup lineup for next Friday and Saturday. Pre-entries are already out, so you can start digging in. They've been out for a while now. Free PPs are available over on the Breeders' Cup website. Again, for pre-entries, the actual entries will be taken and settled on Monday, and so by Monday night, we will be able to officially dig into that Breeders' Cup weekend and should be a lot of fun. Speaking of, you know, a highlight day or days on the racing scene, yesterday was the highlight on the harness side of things. It was the Breeders' Crown down at the Meadowlands. We featured those races during the afternoon. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully you were tuned in and hopefully you made a little money. I said at the end of the day, I have to kind of concentrate a little bit more on the sulky side of things, because in the finale of the Breeders' Crown races yesterday, the Breeders' Crown Pace, I liked Ocean Rock at a nice 16-1 and just got it done. Alleywag Hanover was the big favorite there and looked to maybe have enough to keep going in the stretch, and then just faded a little bit late and not only got caught for the win, but just got caught for second as well. So the big favorite, 2-5, wound up third, but it was okay on our end. As I say, we were handicapping during the afternoon, tossed out Ocean Rock at, what, $34.80. So as I said at the end of the day, I think I went 4-for-8 with top picks in the Breeders' Crown races that we were looking at yesterday. The other three, I think, were a little bit chalky, but the day ended up nicely. And I said, man, I have to switch my concentration over to the sulky side with days like that. But I bring it up because towards the end of the program, well, the last segment, we will have Ken Weingartner from the USTA, United States Trotting Association, and we'll recap some of that action from yesterday. Again, Breeders' Crown being the equivalent on the harness side to the Breeders' Cup on the thoroughbred side. So it was their big day of racing, so I thought we'd take a few minutes just to kind of recap some of that action from yesterday down at the Meadowlands. But I'm also going to take a look at action yesterday at Keeneland. It was their closing day, and at Belmont, it was Empire Showcase Day. So lots of great stakes action at those two venues as well. And then I pulled up a couple of races also from Thursday and Friday that I think are worth watching with some two-year-olds that we want to keep our eyes on going forward. Again, excuse me, going to take a look at some of this nice action at Keeneland yesterday. But before we get into the stakes action, the trainers' battle was fabulous at the meet. It came down to the last day, and it came down to the last race. Brad Cox had the Essential Quality Sibling in the last race yesterday at Keeneland. And during the day, Brad Cox and Wesley Ward had gone back and forth. They came into the day. I think Brad was one up on the day, and it tied, changed, and tied. And so we came into the last three races with Brad Cox and Wesley Ward tied. They had horses in the last three races. Neither got a win in the second to last, next to last race, the last, next to last race. But then Brad Cox, with the Sibling to Essential Quality, got the win in the finale. So it came down to the last race. Brad Cox winds up to be the meet leader, the training meet leader down at Keeneland. And Wesley Ward, a good second, obviously. But over on the jockey side, I said yesterday, I think Tyler Gaffalione had it wrapped up about week one. He just ran away and hid from that bunch. So Tyler Gaffalione, congratulations to him. The trainer's battle was kind of fun. The jockey's battle was settled long ago, but it was just interesting and fun to see Tyler Gaffalione. We've talked the last couple of weeks since he made that move to Kentucky. He's just been phenomenal. He had a really good Saratoga meet. I want to say he finished fifth or sixth in the standings, which for a guy like that is very good, because he's coming in from out of town. He doesn't necessarily have the connections with the trainers that some of the New York-based jockeys have. So he had a really nice Saratoga meet as well. But down there in Kentucky, he's just phenomenal. Kentucky, speaking of Kentucky, it is opening day at Churchill. Yesterday, closing day at Keeneland. They move right over to Churchill. So we'll have that a little bit later on OTB Live. I'll be taking a look at a little Belmont and a little Churchill on this Sunday afternoon. But kicking off the Churchill card, which is maybe a little bit, well, today's card certainly, a little bit two-year-old centric. This late fall meet, so maybe we'll get some ideas on who to keep our eyes on the three-year-old scene next year. All right, let's get into some of the stakes action from yesterday, and we'll kind of work our ways backwards from the finale stakes-wise, the Fayette yesterday. Sleepy Ice Todd scratched, and subsequent reports said the trainer just didn't want to race Sleepy Ice Todd on the off track. He had a little early speed, though. So once he scratched, Javier Castellano after the race said, once that horse was out, I thought, you know what, if I'm a little forward placed with Independence Hall, maybe we can make a little magic happen. And they did. I like Code of Honor, but with some trepidation. Code of Honor, Independence Hall is on the inside here, Code of Honor on the outside. And right here you think, oh, Code of Honor is just going to class out and go right by him. But Independence Hall says, no way. He'd been on the front end, 24 and change, 48, 112. So he has plenty left and spurts away here. Chart margin is 7.25 lengths. Code of Honor hangs on for second over King Fury. King Fury, a little bit surprisingly, was the 9-5 favorite. And when I handicapped the race, I said, Code of Honor and King Fury, I went back and forth between those two. I think King Fury is going to be interesting next year as a four-year-old, and he had some promise early in the year this year with the win in the Lexington, and then it's just a funny middle of the season, particularly up at Saratoga with the situation, Ken McPeak barn going into quarantine. So that Saratoga Derby on the turf was really plan B. And then, came out of that. You can make the argument, didn't really get much of a prep work for the Traverse, so on fifth in the Traverse. But King Fury then comes back in the Bourbon Trail at Churchill, wins by 13 lengths. So you think, he's maybe back on form. Could do no better than third yesterday. But I was still a little bit surprised, given the resume of Code of Honor, that King Fury took the action from the betting public. But as I say, he did it 9-5 as the favorite. Code of Honor, though, it was a decent race from Code of Honor. But as I say, at the top of the stretch, you thought he was going to spurt on by. He didn't, but it's still a little disappointing. Then Independence Hall pulls away and gets that 7-plus length margin. But it was, on the side of Independence Hall, a very, very nice victory. First stakes victory since the 2019 season, when he won the Nashua, when he was in the care of Mike Trombetta. Subsequently moved into the barn of Mike McCarthy, and as I say, hadn't had a stakes victory since 2019 season, where he showed all kinds of promise. Hasn't quite lived up to it, but maybe tipped his hand last time when in the Lucas Classic he finished second to Nick Sko. Nick Sko clearly one of the horses to beat in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And so it's good second to that one, as they say. May it tip the hand of Independence Hall. And follows up that second place to Nick Sko with a really nice win yesterday. All right, let's turn the page and go a little bit earlier on the card. Handicapping the Bryan Station yesterday, I said Camp Hope looks pretty good. I had Ellis Starr on with me yesterday. He liked Camp Hope as well. Camp Hope was coming out of a win at Keeneland, but maybe more importantly, on an off-turf course, a good turf course. The turf course yesterday was soft, but Camp Hope coming out of the win already on a less-than-firm turf course was very, very intriguing. Betting public making Camp Hope the 5-2 favorite. And we'll see here as they turn into the lane. Number 11, Camp Hope, does get it done pretty convincingly in the end. Almost three-length victory. Like the King, the number six horse for Wesley Ward gets up for second. And yes, this time runs third as a close-up second choice, also at 5-2. But a pretty clear and easy victory here for Camp Hope. Brian Hernandez in the saddle for trainer Kenny McPeak. And again, coming off of that victory last time on the less than firm going, he seemed like he had it was a win automatically, points you in the direction of, let me take a look at this horse coming off a good effort, but a win over that off going already played into yesterday's situation where they'd taken a couple earlier turf races off but left the stakes race on. A little bit earlier on the card at Keeneland, it was the Bowman Mill. 2-year-olds sprinting 6 furlongs. I went with my Prankster, but there was a question mark. My Prankster looked phenomenal up at Saratoga in the career debut, and then met up with Jack Christopher in the Champagne last time and was a well-beaten fourth. So there was a question mark, but I couldn't ignore that big debut effort. And I thought my Prankster looked pretty good turning into the lane here. My Prankster is going to be the number 7 horse. John Velasquez on board for Todd Pletcher, but Coming Late was a horse that I also thought was very live yesterday. Number 4, Nakatomi, you can see on the outside here, gets in gear, gets the momentum going, and gets it done for Wesley Ward. Again, another victory for Wesley Ward that made that trainer's battle so much fun yesterday. Nakatomi wins. My Prankster second. Chatelot runs third. So the logicals were all right there, as you can see on the odds board right below. Both Nakatomi and My Prankster were 2-1. According to the chart, though, the slight favoritism went to My Prankster, but Nakatomi gets it done under Tyler Gaffalione. So Tyler Gaffalione getting a stakes victory on the final day of the meet to kind of solidify just a incredibly fabulous meet for Tyler Gaffalione. So there was the closing day stakes down at Keeneland. Really, as I say, really, really fun meet and spectacular meet for Tyler Gaffalione, and a fun meet on the equine side, obviously, with a lot of nice stakes action. Earlier in the meet, some of those stakes had winners that will play, winners or, you know, close-up runners that will play into the Breeders' Cup. But on the human side, it was fun as well coming into that last day with the trainers' battle. Let's shift over to Belmont Park because, again, New York Showcase, Empire Showcase Day, also a lot of fun. The highlight, obviously, the Empire Classic. Empire Classic, for me, I thought American Revolution was going to wind up being the one to beat. I went back and forth, though, with Seafoam, and Seafoam took the early lead, and I thought, I kind of was kicking myself because Seafoam went off at 10-1, and I thought, you know what, on the front end, maybe Seafoam will take him, excuse me, all the way around. He winds up fading to third, just barely. He's going to just get nipped for second. But American Revolution, clearly the winner. So as they turn into the lane, American Revolution subsequently takes the lead. And then I thought, I tilted in the right direction. This is a pretty special New York bred. And as you can see, Seafoam is second there, and a pretty clear second. But again, Wild Banker at 56-1, the rank outsider, will just nip Seafoam for second right there at the wire. and a 56-1 with a 1-2 shot over the 56-1 shot. You wound up with a $48 exacta, but you had to come up with a wild banker in there for Mike Deeney, owned and trained by Mike Deeney, came over from summer at the at Monmouth, came out of a win in an optional claimer last time over at Monmouth, getting back in against Statebreds, puts in a decent little run to be second, but a well-beaten second. Subsequently, coming out of the race, Elliot Walden from Windstar, the owners of American Revolution, kind of said, you know what, I think he may be the kind of the eighth or ninth best three-year-old in the country, and we'll see how the division shapes up next year. Some of the older horses are going. It sounds like we're probably not going to necessarily see American Revolution in too many New York bred races in the future. Maybe they'll pick their spots, but I think they have a horse that has the potential to knock heads with open company. You know, you look at his record so far, every time he's faced New York breds, he's been a winner, including the New York Derby up at the Finger Lakes and the Albany at Saratoga, and then yesterday in the Empire Classic facing older. The two races where he faced open company were his career debut just about a year ago at Keeneland, where he finished behind Mandaloon. And then in the race just prior to yesterday, he was in the Pennsylvania Derby, ran third behind Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon. So clearly, when he has faced open company, he has faced some of the best out there and been very competitive. When he faces New York breds, he clearly has a significant edge. So it'll be fun to see where he goes next year. As I say, I think they'll bounce around open company and who knows, maybe pick their spots with, you know, you have, like yesterday, $300,000 up for grabs and you run away and win by 12 lengths. That's a pretty good payday for essentially a kind of, you know, one of those paid workout kind of things. All right, a little bit earlier, it was, boy, this one was a head scratcher. The Empire Distaff. We're going to watch the stretch run here. Sharp Star, the number two, is going to win at 16-1. Ice Princess went off as the 5-2 favorite, the number one horse. I like Make Mischief also at 5-2. Make Mischief is the number four, winds up third in here. But Sharp Star gets it done, again, at a 16-1 price. Hadn't been seen since Saratoga, running fifth in open company and an optional claimer. Horacio DePaz, after the race, said, yeah, I think maybe she needed the last race. And, you know, we kind of laid her off since then and brought her back today. I mean, you look at the buyers are a little bit light. There's certainly a nice win going back to last November, just about this time last year, in an state bred allowance race, tossed a 101 buyer, but that just kind of jumps off the page. I will say, follow that up with a win in the Grade 3 Gopher Wand. And Horacio DePaz yesterday said, you know, we won that Gopher Wand last year. Maybe we'll aim for that again this year. And so if they do, I've mentioned a number of times, I like horses that kind of have patterns that they follow. And this would be a pretty similar pattern for Sharp Star. Coming off a nice win and then going into nice win against Statebreds and then going into the Gopher Wand. And paired up a similar situation last year. So again, Sharp Star, a little bit of a head scratcher and tough to come up with yesterday off the prior good form. But that was the situation before the big victory also in the allowance company last November. Now, did win that one at a short price. Had come out of the Black-Eyed Susan just before that, well beaten, but had been a close-up third in the Fleet Indian. So came into that big win last year with a little more confidence than yesterday. But again, I think if you look at the numbers, the situation is a little bit comparable in that nice win, and now maybe goes into the Gopher Wand and compare them up. So again, if that one does pick the Gopher Wand, take a closer look at Sharp Star on kind of a year-to-year similar pattern. Maid of the Mist, two-year-old fillies going a one-turn mile. I like Sandy's Garden in here coming off the big debut win up at Finger Lakes, and Sandy's Garden does go off as the 5-2 choice and led for much of the early portion of the race. Sandy's Garden is the number five horse, however, And then you can see at the top of the stretch, they get to her, and she fades, and Sandy's Garden winds up running sixth. The winner's number one, Venti Valentine. We had Anthony Stabile on yesterday. He liked Venti Valentine. Career debut victory back on September 26th, said she might be nice. The number seemed a little bit light, though, as compared to some of the others in here. Certainly, given the fact that the horse wins off pretty easily, but does, and at 3-1 price, you got $8.70. Captain's Daughter second at 28-1, and Dufresne third at 13-1. So the shorter prices in the field were mostly off the board. Venti Valentine wound up being the fourth choice, actually, at 3-1, with a couple other 3-1 shots in the mix, and again, Sandy's Garden being a 5-2 favorite. So the fourth choice gets it done, but then a couple of longer prices underneath, and those three shorter prices, fourth, sixth, and eighth. So a little bit of a puzzle to the bettors in the Maid of the Mist. But now, with two starts, two victories for Venti Valentine, including the stakes victory, she'll be a nice little three-year-old New York-bred filly to kind of keep your eyes on. She validated the debut victory with the win yesterday in the Maid of the Mist. All right, a few more New York-bred Showcase Day stakes to take a look at. And as I say, there were a couple of two-year-old races at Keeneland at the end of the week that I thought we'd plug in as well, because a couple of horses that may be worth watching. All of that we'll get to right after this break. A little bit later on, Ken Weingartner, and we'll take a look at some of that Breeders' Crown action at the Meadowlands from yesterday. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Breeders' Cup World Championships have given us some of horse racing's biggest thrills and biggest payouts, like the $2.7 million Pick Six payout back in 2003. With a long list of betting options, it's never taken so little to win so much. So don't miss your chance to share in Thoroughbred Racing's richest event, the Breeders' Cup. And be sure to go to CapitalOTBBet.com to wager and win.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. Seth Merrill in the studio, as always. Thanks for joining us. Again, continuing the Empire Showcase Day stakes action. The Iroquois, fillies and mares going 6.5 furlongs. I like the important one in here. Betting public made the important one the second choice at 2-1. Espresso Shot was the 2-1 favorite. But I just thought, man, boy, with that early speed, the important one may be able to get out there and take them all the way around. That was the game plan. That was how it played out. The important one, the number two horse under Jose Lescano on the front end throughout. And you can see here in the stretch, opens it up pretty nicely. Chart margin just over six lengths. Second place was a close battle between Miss Jimmy by a neck over Espresso Shot. The number one holding on over the number six late here, as I say, by a neck, Espresso Shot, the 2-1 favorite, but also a 2-1, the important one, wins and does it pretty easily. Again, Steve Asmussen, trainee for Bloom Racing, the important one on the front end throughout, as it looked like on the PPs. I mean, that was the handicapping angle I was looking at this one. There was other speed in the race, but I thought the speed of the speed might turn out to be the important one, and that's how it played out. Fifth race on the card yesterday was the Hudson, and this was a fun race because it was New York traffic, and I said when I handicapped the race, I went with New York traffic, but boy, you really had to kind of scratch your head. And New York traffic, the last couple of races certainly weren't confidence building. The Monmouth Cup, a fourth place finish. The Charlestown Classic, a sixth place finish behind Art Collector. Subsequently, Safi Joseph said there'd been a little bit of a hit hoof issue with New York traffic that may have been affecting things. What I did when I handicapped, I put New York traffic on top. I thought maybe just a little bit of a class edge. And mainly, I was going to the last time the horse had faced state breds. That was back in May, a state bred optional claimer. Not only won, but did it with a triple-digit buyer number. So it was just by far the best recent effort. And I thought, we get back in against state breds on Saturday afternoon. I'll tilt towards New York traffic in there. I thought Gemography was a little bit interesting and potentially a price. Gemography went off at 13-1, does wind up completing the trifecta, and another price runs second. It was our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds with Chestertown at 26-1. The number two, Chestertown, completes the exacta, but New York traffic, pretty easy winner here. I mean, you kind of got the idea at the top of the stretch, and as the stretch progresses, it just kind of becomes far more evident with every stride. New York traffic at 4-5 gets it done pretty easily, as I say. Chestertown, pretty clear second, and by a nose, Gemography at 23-1 runs third. But New York traffic getting it done for Safi Joseph, Irod Ortiz on board. So again, the last couple of times he's faced state breds has done so successfully and very successfully. So it was a nice rebound for New York traffic off of the last couple. And as I say, Safi Joseph kind of mentioning there was a hoof issue. So maybe that did affect the finishes, certainly in the Charlestown class. Charlestown, though, is a quirky, you know, little bullring of a track, and that may have affected things as well. But New York traffic looking pretty good, winning the Hudson yesterday. And finally, the Sleepy Hollow for the two-year-olds going a mile. I liked Shipsational. Overstep was the morning line favorite, and I said during the handicapping show yesterday, I was going to be interested to see how it shook out with the odds. I thought Shipsational may wind up being the favorite, but David Aragona had it right. Now, when I came in and did OTB Live, 10 minutes before the race maybe, Overstep was 4-5 and Shipsational was 7-2. And I said, they're way too far apart there. As I say, I kind of felt like Shipsational should be the favorite. So that divergence was far too wide. But as they entered the gate, things had closed up to where it was a little more logical. Overstep was still the favorite at 4-5, but Shipsational was 6-5. Shipsational is the number four horse here, and it is a nice duel. And Overstep will come up and make things a little bit intriguing at the end, and it winds up to be a half length. But Shipsational just keeps digging in, and gets it done. Shipsational, now 3 wins and 4 career starts. A couple of those have been New York bred stakes. So Eddie Barker has a very nice 2-year-old New York bred, and that gives all kinds of options. And you would think, you know, the possibility is there to step out into open company, but there are also all kinds of options for New York bred 3-year-olds. You know, next year there's the New York Derby and the Albany, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see what they do with Shipsational. Overstep, only the second career start. Again, got through and made a nice little late run to run second. So big win in the career debut. Nice second in the second start in a stakes race. So I think Rapoleon Company and Todd Pletcher have a nice little 2-year-old turning three in another month and another couple months. New York bred as well. So a nice result for the future as well, coming out of the Sleepy Hollow with Shipsational getting it done over Overstep. Again, wanted to take a look at a couple of races from going back to Thursday and Friday at Keeneland, because they will certainly be worth taking a look at keeping in mind going forward. A couple of really nice 2-year-olds to watch, and we'll start things out by going to the Friday race. And this was the second race on Friday at Keeneland. The winner will be Smile Happy. By Run Happy from the Ken McPeak barn, Smile Happy runs away and just kind of hides from this bunch. It's chart margin over 5 lengths. The number 5 horse, Smile Happy. This was a really good-looking debut effort. Run Happy has been a little bit better this year with his first-time starters. I want to say this was his 5th debut winner of 2021. Last year, it was not, his runners weren't quite as precocious. It seemed like Run Happy's maybe as they get a little experience, they'll be a little more interesting to watch down the road. But as I say, this year he's had a few first time out winners. So Run Happy may be one of those I have to tuck in my pocket as a sire of, a sneaky sire. The numbers aren't jumping off the page necessarily with the 5 debut winners, but it's enough that it's a sire you're going to have to maybe pay a little bit of attention to with the horses coming on the track for the first time. And certainly that was the case on Friday. We'll keep our eyes open for Smile Happy. Again, it was a late debut win in the season, in that clearly the Breeders' Cup is out of the question, but we'll see where they point Smile Happy. It wouldn't be shocked to see at least another start, maybe pick an interesting spot for this one and get maybe a stakes try in it before the end of the season. But we'll watch Smile Happy also, obviously, going forward as a 3-year-old in a couple of months. And I wanted to look, at one more winner from last week at Keeneland. This is going back to Thursday. Again, it was a maiden special weight event. I said when I did the handicapping for the afternoon, 5th race on Thursday at Keeneland, maiden special, 2-year-old fillies. 5-2 on the morning line for Martime from Brad Cox. Steady string of workouts. Some of the workouts are pretty good. Some bullets underneath. So automatically, 5-2, Brad Cox, first-time starter with some workouts that are a little bit live. Is 5-2 going to be okay? But then you look into the breeding a little bit. And I said when I handicapped it, bettors are pretty savvy when it comes to breeding, because the word will get out on Twitter or whatever. Hey, look at we have a sibling of coming up. And this one is a sibling to Beholder and Into Mischief. It was a horse called Martime, 2-year-old filly from Brad Cox. And yeah, that 5-2 evaporated very quickly. Martime goes off at 3-5, takes him all the way around. Florent Giroux on board. Martime, the number 4 horse here in the career debut. Again, a sibling to Beholder, a sibling to Into Mischief in the Brad Cox barn. This will be a 2-year-old filly worth watching going forward, and obviously as the calendar turns, watching going forward as a 3-year-old filly, you would think as well. So again, Thursday and Friday, a couple of 2-year-old debut efforts that will be worth watching. Moving on, Martime, the 2-year-old filly on Thursday, Smile Happy, the 2-year-old colt on Friday, both looking very good in debut efforts. All right. As promised a little bit earlier, we will take another break, and when we come back, we will be joined by Ken Weingartner from the USTA to take a look back at some of the action at the Meadowlands yesterday. It was a lot of fun. Breeders' Crown Day. There was the potential to, like the Breeders' Cup on the Breeders' Crown, to help decide divisional year-end honors, to help decide maybe Horse of the Year type of honors. Some of the races played out that way. Some of the races, short price favorites were upset. So it was a fun afternoon with a mix of nice storylines in there. And we'll get some thoughts on all of that when we come back right after this. Some Breeders' Crown conversation. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Ken Weingartner from the USTA. Haven't talked to Ken in a while, but I thought we'd plug in after the really fun day of racing yesterday. And I was talking to Ken before, and also Friday night was great action over the Meadowlands with Breeders' Crown races as well. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. And before we get into some of the races specifically, you and I were talking just before we came on the air. Talk a little bit about Friday and Saturday and what the crowd was like at the Meadowlands.
Oh, well, it was a really big weekend of racing at the Meadowlands. Friday, the weather didn't really cooperate as we would have hoped. It was very rainy and quite windy, and the race times and racing kind of reflected that, but they were still fantastic races, and the horses put on a great show. We had two finishes by a nose, so it was really exciting racing in those four divisions. And yesterday the weather really worked out nicely, a really good crowd at the Meadowlands, some enthusiastic betting, so it was a good day all around, good weekend all around.
Yeah, and I set it up a little bit earlier in the show by saying there was the potential there to decide some year-end honors and divisions and maybe horse of the year, and some of the races it worked out that way, some of the races there were upsets, so it was a lot of fun throughout the afternoon. And as I said to you during the break, normally we're a little thoroughbred-centric as we do our afternoon handicapping show. But yesterday, sometimes Saratoga Harness is plugged in, and I like the harness side of the game, so I have fun handicapping Saratoga. But yesterday I had a lot of fun handicapping the Meadowlands in that Breeders' Crown card. And I will start right out with race number 11, the Breeders' Crown Pace. That was my most fun of the afternoon because I actually liked Ocean Rock, and I handicapped the card before the race went, and so hopefully folks were maybe tuning in and listening a little bit. But it was one of the fun races, as you mentioned, a lot of fun races during the afternoon. And Alleywag Hanover was the 2-5 favorite and was right there late, but my horse Ocean Rock at 16-1 just kept grinding, and eventually will get up. So it will be number 7, Ocean Rock, late. Number 8 is Alleywag Hanover. And coming up late to split those two was Cattle Wash also. But again, a little bit of an upset at the end of the day. Made me happy. But what were your thoughts on that Breeders' Crown Pace?
Well, first of all, congratulations on that. That's very nice. It's 16-1.
Yeah.
You know, Ocean Rock, I think, got a little overlooked. Maybe it was the post position. And certainly Alleywag Hanover, you know, came in great form, was coming off a world record equaling mile in Lexington in his previous start, was very highly ranked in the standardbred poll. So I think, you know, people were just kind of focused on him coming in. But Ocean Rock had won, you know, several Grand Circuit stakes this year out in the Midwest. It was his first time really coming east and giving people out here a look at him. And he raced phenomenal. I mean, Alleywag Hanover had to do a lot of work. It might have caught up with him a little bit at the end there. I mean, the three horses at the wire were separated by a neck. And really, I think, you know, Cattle Wash, if he could have gotten in the room a little bit sooner, I mean, he might have gotten up. But, you know, all credit to Ocean Rock and Dan Noble, his first Breeders' Crown trophy, and the horse raced really well. And that now kind of, I think Allie Wang Hanover's still the favorite in that division for year-end honors, but, you know, we've still got a little bit of racing to go yet.
Yeah, it was a fun afternoon in that fashion, and, you know, year-end honors and whatnot. But as we saw, there was also some really, really nice finishes. And, yes, I was very happy with that result. And you look at the day, and I said I'm a fan of harness racing, and that's how I, you know, cut my teeth up at Saratoga Harness. When I was a kid, I used to go up there quite a bit. And then I kind of went over more to the thoroughbreds, but I still love the harness game. But I look at the result of that race yesterday with Ocean Rock, 148-3. Man, when I first got into the game, that was unheard of. It's just incredible. And they were throwing times like that all day yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the speed is unbelievable. I mean, and particularly now on the trotting side, we're seeing it even more so. And you take a horse like Juju B, you know, and what he's done this year with two sub-150 wins is, you know, unheard of. I mean, he's the first three-year-old male trotter to ever do that. So it was unheard of, literally.
Yeah, as I say, unimaginable when I was a kid you'd have times like that, but it's a lot of fun to watch it now. Let's go back to the 10th race, the Breeders' Crown Open Trot, and I played the Swedish horse. When I handicapped yesterday, obviously I didn't get the same price. I got a winner, but it was a little shorter. I was a little surprised that the betting public was on this one as much. 1-2 favorite for Akuri DK. As I say, a Swedish import, as it were, but coming off a win down at Lexington in the prior event. But I tilted in that direction. As I say, went off at 1-2, did get it done. Got it done pretty nicely, the number three horse here. Couple of prices in underneath, back of the neck at 62-1, ready for money at 38-1, fill out the exacta and try. But again, the Swedish import. As I handicapped the race, I said they love their harness racing in Sweden, and this looks like a pretty nice horse. But I was a little bit surprised at the short price.
Yeah, I think you know, people were kind of on this horse. He had gotten a lot of publicity coming overseas here. He was a sensation in Sweden. He won his first 11 races over there. Earlier this year, he was a finalist in the Elite Lop, which is one of the big trotting races over there in Europe. And, you know, going to Åke Svanstedt stable, people have high expectations for him. And, you know, what he did his first start in Lexington right off the bat really, I think, impressed people. And the European horses have done quite well in the Breeders' Crown when they've come over here. And I think all of that contributed to him being such a strong favorite. And he lived up to it.
Does he now, and is he eligible? You know, what are the rules in harness racing? Is he eligible for year-end honors?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yeah. He certainly has his name in consideration after his two wins so far.
That's a good question, too. Will his European form, is that able to be considered?
Typically, I don't think people really do.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that would prevent you from doing that, but I think most people here would be focused on his accomplishments here since he's arrived.
Sure. All right, let's take a look at the Breeders' Crown Filly and Mare Pace. This one was intriguing because you mentioned some of the polls earlier, and Lion Sentinel, number one in the poll I pulled up before the races yesterday. And Lion Sentinel in here is going to go off at 1-2. Lion Sentinel is going to be the number three horse. But Rocknificent, and I had Lion Sentinel on top, obviously, as did just about everybody else. But I said before the race, I thought Rocknificent might be a little bit interesting. And that's the way it turned out. We can see Lion Sentinel trying to make up ground, but just cannot do it against Rocknificent, who pretty much took him all the way around. What were your thoughts in the Filly and Mare Pace?
Well, certainly everybody was looking at Lion Sentinel. You know, as you mentioned, the number one horse in harness racing going into the weekend. And she did race really well. I mean, she came home fastest last quarter of anybody in that race. But, you know, Rockmificent has been so good all year. And she's finished second, I think, five times to Flying Sentinel going into the weekend. And this was her time. Driver Scott Zeron, I talked to him after the race, and he was saying how frustrating it has been because no matter what tactics he had tried to use to beat Lion Sentinel, he hadn't been able to do it, and this time it finally worked out. This horse loves to get out of the gate quickly. He was able to use that speed. He took the lead. It's something he hasn't been on the front much lately with her, and she really enjoyed it, and it was the perfect way to go, and she was able to hold off Lion Sentinel at the end.
Yeah, again, another a really nice finish, and as I set up the afternoon all afternoon long, I said you're going to see some horses who are right at the top of the game, worth watching. Some of them get it done. Some of them had ding-dong battles and came up a little short, but it was just part of that fun afternoon. Let's go back, and I also wanted to pull up a couple other races with nice finishes and horses worth noting. Going back to the sixth race yesterday, it was the three-year-old colts and geldings pace, and it anticipated showdown between Perfect Sting and Charlie May, and it winds up that way. They're 1-2. I liked Perfect Sting. I had Charlie May right underneath. I thought Chase H. Hanover could be a player at some odds as well, and so it worked out for me. Again, a little bit shorter than that final race, but it is Perfect Sting getting it done here, as we can see. We're watching the stretch run. But again, another nice battle. Charlie May comes up a little bit short as Perfect Sting makes the late run and gets it done by about a length there. Your thoughts in the three-year-old colts and geldings pace?
This was probably the most anticipated final of the weekend. These two horses were battling for the top spot in the division, and they were had a lot of support. Each horse had a lot of support going in here. And fortunately for the fans, this race worked out exactly as you wanted to see it. I mean, these two horses kind of separated themselves coming off the last turn from the rest of the field, and then it was just a showdown between the two. As I talked to driver Brett Miller, Charlie May's driver, after the race, said, we turned it in a sprint, and Perfect Sting just out-sprinted us. And it was really a fun race to watch, and it's nice when you have the anticipation and the race lives up to your expectations. And these two have really put together some great work this year. Perfect Sting, he had 6 second-place finishes in races worth $275,000 or more this year. So this was really something he needed to do and break through with a big win here. And certainly now he's put himself, I think, on top of the division as we head into the final month of the season.
Yeah, as they came down the backstretch, as I say, I had Perfect Sting. I wasn't quite sure. Charlie May was out there, and I thought, I'm looking at the fractions. We're going to be able to get that one, but the stretch run turned out to be a lot of fun. Also wanted to pull up the fifth race because we talked about this race early in the day, and as we got close to it, Atlanta is just, for the folks, as I say, we're kind of in the afternoon when I do the handicapping show. We're a little bit thoroughbred-centric, and I think some folks may think of harness racing as kind of the poor cousin to thoroughbred racing. Oh, there's not as much money or whatnot. You look at Atlanta, and 31 victories and 61 starts coming into yesterday, and just under $3 million in earnings. She is just a phenomenal race mayor, and was sitting number 5 on the poll. But comes up a little bit short yesterday as Felicity Shagwell, the eventual winner, just kind of goes out and is able to set her own fractions and keep on going late. Atlanta tries to grind her down, but just doesn't have enough in the lane. Atlanta winds up second. When Doves Cry runs third. Give us your thoughts on this race.
Well, going into this race, I thought Felicity Shagwell was really a nice long shot play. She had been racing really well. I had talked to her driver-trainer after last week, and in the elimination, she finished fourth, but she was kind of locked in and had no racing room, and Aukie Swanstead said he thought if he could have gotten room, he would have won that race. And she certainly lived up to his expectations, and I think everybody kind of was looking for Atlanta to win this. She's was making her fifth appearance in a Breeders' Crown. She hadn't won one yet, and that's like the only big race missing from her resume. As you said, she's $3 million. I think she's the fifth richest female trotter in history, and has had this tremendous career, a Hamiltonian winner, a Maple Leaf Trot winner. And I think people were really pulling for her to get this one, and she just wasn't able to get up there in time. But a lot of credit to Felicity Shagwell, and that's, you know, kind of what driver Yannick Gingras told me after the race. He just said, you know, he thinks coming first up on her that long may have just taken a toll, but all credit to Felicity Shagwell. He said she got things her way, and she took advantage.
Yeah, $23 is the payoff. She gets around there in 152-2, and again, on those fractions, it was just a little tough for Atlanta to make up the ground, but takes nothing away from a spectacular career for her. And Ken, I wanted to look at one more race, because as I said, there was the opportunity to maybe decide some divisional honors, maybe horse of the year. And in the winner's circle after this race, they were talking potential horse of the year for Test of Faith. This is the three-year-old filly's pace. Test of Faith was sitting number two overall on the poll. She had come into this race with 12 victories and 14 starts this year, 20 victories and 23 starts in the career, and Test of Faith gets it done yesterday. The number eight horse, Scarlet Hanover, second. Firestart Hanover runs third. But this is some nice performance by Test of Faith. Just a really special horse. Gets a win. Completes a, you know, starts actually with early in the day with the fourth race. Starts a nice afternoon of racing there. 149-4. Talk a little bit about Test of Faith.
Well, Test of Faith has been just a wonderful horse throughout her career. Trainer Brett Pelling has told me before, you know, she really does nothing wrong. She's really very easy on herself. Not a lot of things he has to do with her. He said before, his job is to fix problems, and he's had nothing to do with her in that way. So that's really probably part of the reason for her success, but she is just a tremendous, tremendous horse. I imagine, you know, she's probably going to be number one when the new poll comes out on Tuesday, and certainly well in the mix now for year-end honors. You know, only three losses in her career, and they were all second-place finishes. There's really not more you can say about her other than she has just been fantastic.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun yesterday, watching her kind of start the day early with some nice action. As I say, it was a lot of fun for me. I like the harness side. Hopefully we introduce some people who, as I say, we're a little more thoroughbred-centric here in the afternoons, but hopefully it introduced some people to how much fun the harness side can be. And again, the Breeders' Crown, we kind of related it to the Breeders' Cup on the thoroughbred side. But, I mean, here we are. You know, it is the end of October, but that's not the end of the harness season. I know in the winner's circle, a lot of the connections we're talking about races coming up and probably fairly shortly for some of these runners. So the harness season still has a lot of action left to go in the last couple of months.
Yeah, that's true. We've got some racing, Grand Circuit racing going right through the end of November. And there'll be another big weekend coming up later in November at the Meadowlands when they'll have the TVG finals. And there'll be, you know, probably some divisional honor implications in those races by the time we get to them. So there's still plenty of racing to go and plenty of time to decide, you know, who's going to walk away with some trophies at the end of the year.
Yeah, again, it was a lot of fun yesterday with some of the big favorites getting beaten. They're probably trying to get back and validate things before the year is over. So we will certainly be watching and noting all of that. One of the ways to do it also, I should note, is that USTA website. People can check that out. Great news, and pull up results and entries and whatnot also. But Ken, we appreciate the conversation. I just had to touch on it because it was such a fun day of racing yesterday. So appreciate the visit. We'll talk again.
Thanks so much, Seth. Thanks for having me.
Very good. Ken Weingartner from the USTA. And again, it was really a fun day of racing yesterday down at the Meadowlands. All right, I'll wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. We'll be back an hour and a half or so as usual with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Going to take a look at a little Belmont and opening day at Churchill Downs. I'm waiting to, I said it yesterday with our friend Brian Netto, who's friends with Joe Kristofek at Churchill. I said, man, I'm interested to see what Joe shows up as on Halloween in the pregame show down at Churchill. So we'll anticipate that as well. But that'll be coming up, as I say, about an hour and a half or so. We'll kick in with OTB Live. We appreciate your tuning in this morning for Racing Across America. Again, love to have you stop down and enjoy football action today right here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Football Sundays throughout the NFL season. Wear a jersey, get in for free. Maybe a winter jersey if you put your name on the squares. Restaurant vouchers available as well on the squares. All of that happening right here at the Clubhouse Racebook throughout the football season. 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. And don't forget the Breeders' Cup Seminar coming up on Thursday at 2 o'clock. Tim Wilkin and I in the studio. Brian Netto live from Del Mar going over all the Breeders' Cup action. That's on the Capital OTV YouTube channel live at 2 o'clock on Thursday, and then repeated on the social media channels and here on the network as well. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks for joining as always. Really appreciate it. Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Again, we appreciate your tuning in. And don't forget, stay tuned or retune. Maybe go grab a little brunch. Retune in about an hour and a half. We'll have some OTB Live Sunday afternoon action. Should be a lot of fun. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.